Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CRH plc April Trading Update conference call. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, you may submit your question at any point during the call. Press star one to queue for a question after the presentation. The next voice you will hear will be Albert Manifold.
Hello, everyone. Albert Manifold here, CRH Group Chief Executive. And you're all very welcome to our conference call, which accompanies the release of our trading update earlier today. Joining me on the call is Jim Mintern, our Group Finance Director, Randy Lake, our Chief Operating Officer, and Tom Holmes, Head of Investor Relations. Now, following some short opening remarks, we'll be available to take any questions you may have on our announcement, and all told, we aim to finish up in about 30 minutes or so. Before I take you through the key points of our announcement, I'd like to remind you that we'll be hosting an investor update tomorrow, Thursday, the 21st of April. It'll be a virtual event, broadcast live via webcast at 2 p.m. London time, 9 a.m. Eastern time, and the registration details are available on our website. As I've said before, there'll be no big reveal, but it'll be an opportunity for Jim, Randy, and I to take some time outside of results to update you on a number of important items which are at the core of our strategy going forward. We'll provide you with an update on our portfolio strategy, our thoughts and priorities around capital allocation going forward, our approach to sustainability, and a more detailed discussion about the benefits of our integrated solution strategy. Overall, I expect it to last for about 90 minutes or so. Turning now to today's announcement, which provides details of our trading performance for the first 3 months of 2022, an update on our recent capital allocation activity, and an indication of our expectations for the first 6 months of the year. So, beginning with our first quarter trading performance. And overall, it's been a good start to the year for CRH, with sales, EBITDA, and margin ahead of the prior year. Group sales for the first quarter were 15% ahead, a reflection of the continued benefits of our integrated solution strategy, good underlying demand across our core markets, and disciplined commercial management. Let me briefly take you through the first quarter trading trends for each of our businesses. Starting with the Americas Materials Division, where first quarter sales were 13% ahead of the prior year. Good commercial management across all business lines more than offset the impact of some cold and wet weather conditions, which impacted activity levels in parts of the Northeast, the Great Lakes, and western regions of the United States and Canada. For the division as a whole, activity levels in our asphalt and construction services businesses were well ahead of the prior year, while cement volumes were in line. First quarter aggregates and ready-mix concrete volumes were behind the same period in 2021, impacted by some adverse weather conditions. Of course, it's worth noting that our Americas Materials business is particularly seasonal, and the first quarter only typically accounts for about 10 to 20% of our annual volumes. With continued focus on strong commercial management, we made good progress on pricing across all products, with high single-digit increases in aggregates and asphalt, and double-digit increases in cement and ready-mix concrete. Turning to Europe Materials, first quarter sales were 11% ahead of the prior year, reflecting strong demand and milder weather across most of our key markets. In the United Kingdom and Ireland, our sales were well ahead of the prior year, reflecting good underlying construction demand in those markets and the benefits of the significant steps we've taken in recent years to reshape and reposition our UK businesses. In Eastern Europe, the demand environment is robust, with strong volume growth, particularly in Poland and Romania. Our business in Ukraine had a strong start to the year, but as a result of the ongoing conflict, we have suspended all operations. Of course, it goes without saying that our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Ukraine at this very difficult time, and we are continuing to do everything we can to protect and support our employees and their families on the ground. In Western Europe, sales were also ahead of prior year, with improved activity levels in countries including France, Belgium, Germany, and Switzerland. In the Philippines, sales were behind prior year as lower activity levels due to the upcoming presidential election were only offset partially by price improvements. With regard to pricing for the division as a whole, we continued to deliver further improvements during the period, with strong progress on recently announced price increases across all products and markets. And finally, to our building products business, where first quarter sales were 22% ahead of 2021, reflecting continued delivery on our integrated solution strategy strong residential demand, particularly in North America, and continued recovery in non-residential activity. Sales in our architectural products business were ahead in North America and Europe, reflecting continued strong demand for outdoor living solutions and good commercial management in the early months of the season. In our infrastructure products business, sales were ahead as a result of higher activity levels, particularly in the communications, water, energy, and transportation sectors, good pricing, and a strong performance from National Pipe, our recently acquired water and energy infrastructure solutions business. Turning to our building envelope business, where sales were also ahead, benefiting from continued recovery in non-residential construction activity and good commercial discipline. So, for the group as a whole, it's been a good start to the year, with first quarter sales 15% ahead of prior year and continued improvements in both EBITDA and margin. Now, before I comment on our expectations for the first half of the year, let me touch briefly on a few other items from today's announcement. First, to our development activities. And in the year to date, we have completed 11 bolt-on acquisitions for a total consideration of approximately $600 million, the largest of which was Rinker Materials in our infrastructure products business, expanding our pipe and precast solutions offering in the Texas market. We also acquired Calstone in our architectural products business, a leading provider of outdoor living solutions in California. We have a strong and active pipeline of opportunities, and the strength of our balance sheet, combined with our continued focus on financial discipline, will enable us to capitalize on these opportunities to create further value for our shareholders. In February, we announced the divestment of our building envelope business for an enterprise value of $3.8 billion, representing an attractive exit multiple of 10.5 times EBITDA, and we expect that transaction to close during the second quarter of the year. In the light of our strong financial position and commitment to returning cash to shareholders, our ongoing share buyback program is now running at an annualized rate of approximately $1.2 billion. The current tranche of our program is well underway and will be completed before the end of June. Turning now to outlook. Following a good start to the year, assuming normal seasonal weather patterns and absent any major dislocations in the macroeconomic environment, we expect first half sales, EBITDA, and margin to be ahead of the same period in 2021. The demand backdrop in North America remains positive, and when combined with good commercial management and the continued execution of our integrated solution strategy, our Americas materials and building products businesses should continue to perform well. Notwithstanding the challenges of significant energy cost volatility and the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, we expect like-for-like EBITDA in our Europe materials business to be ahead of the prior year period. It's very difficult to be more specific at this stage of the year when most of our important trading period is still ahead of us, but we will of course update you on our expectations as the year unfolds. As ever, we are relentlessly focused on shareholder value creation and believe that our integrated solution strategy, together with our strong balance sheet, leaves us well positioned going forward. So with that, I will now hand you over to Q&A. May I ask you please to state your name and the institution that you represent when posing your questions. In consideration of others on the line, and to make the best use of the time we have available, could I please ask you to limit your questions to one each where possible. I'll now hand you back to the moderator to coordinate the Q&A session of our call.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. To withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. And your first question comes from the line of Gregor Kuglitsch from UBS. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Maybe I'll be a bit naughty and ask it two parts. So if you could just perhaps give us an update where your energy cost and sort of general cost position is. Obviously, you're guiding for margin expansion, I guess, in percentage terms for the first half. So if you just maybe give us sort of your best view of how the spread between price and cost is evolving across the various geographies. Thank you.
Hi, Gregor. Jim here. I'll take that one. Maybe in terms of energy, as typically you're aware, our energy cost range is between 9 to 11% of our total sales. And in the first quarter this year, we're within that range. You know, about half of our energy cost is in bitumen, typically in the mid to high 40%. As you know, we very carefully manage that input cost, and particularly through our winter fill program, and indeed the price escalation clauses that are in place in most of the states which you operate. We've had very strong commercial management across our businesses for many years now, and we've been a practice of dynamic pricing in place, which recovers the cost inflation. And as you said, quarter one margins are ahead, and we also expect margins to be ahead for the first half of the year also.
I suppose I should say, Gregor, as well, building on what Jim has just said there, I mean, let's not forget, you know, the business for a number of years now has been beyond just, you know, selling base materials. It's much more an integration of base materials with value-added products and the service to go with it. So a full end-to-end solution. And, you know, that now makes up 65% of our total sales. Last year was a very difficult year for costs across our industry. And yet, you know, we were ahead in all of our divisions in terms of margin, and again, ahead of our peers. So it really is a testing once again with the margin performance in this current year. We've moved past being a price taker, and again, this concept of being a price maker in the marketplace, that really is where we're at. So, you know, the energy costs are there, they're headwinds, but you can just see exactly how we managed them last year, and we continue to manage them into the current year.
And maybe, Greg, just on the second question, just in terms of on the margin, yeah, in Q1, our sales, EBITDA and margin was ahead, and also the reported margin for the first half year, we expect sales, EBITDA and margin to be ahead as well for the first half.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ross Harvey from Davy. Please ask your question.
Year on that front. I'm just wondering, can you give us some colour on what you're seeing in the pipeline? Thanks.
I think I just got the end of the question about M&A and what we're seeing in the pipeline. Was that correct, Ross?
Yeah, that's correct, Albert. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yes, thank you. And good morning, good afternoon to you. Look, the pipeline is quite strong. We've had a good start of the year, good sense of momentum carried on from last year. First quarter, we executed across 11 deals, mainly in the U.S. here, spent just over $600 million on M&A. I suppose the two big standouts of that so were we bought a nice business, an add-on to an APG business in Northern California, Calstone, which is mainly a hardscapes and masonry business. And the biggest deal we did was we bought an add-on to our IPG business, our infrastructure products business, in really sort of in culverts, pipe, and in Texas. And again, a nice deal add-on there. I have to say that there's a lot of opportunities out there. Pleased to see again that the $600 million we spent this year, with average was 7x EBITDA, and that's before we start getting into the business and improving them and delivering synergies as well. Good pipeline ahead of us. As always, you know, we're very careful, very selective. Discipline is strong. We have plenty of money, but it's easy to spend money. It's hard to deliver value, and we're very careful how we do so. But look forward to this year with that optimism and off to a good start.
Thanks for that.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Back in March, I guess you gave us some colour on the order book. And with that in mind, you said you were looking forward to a year of progress. Just wonder, how has the order book evolved? And as such, you know, how has your confidence on a year of progress evolved as well?
Hi, David. Good morning to you. Yeah, no, because only 7 weeks ago since we talked to you. But actually, probably what's happened to the order book since then is kind of backed up a bit because we've had some pretty poor weather in the U.S. here, particularly across the Great Lakes and out west, which meant that we haven't been able to execute on the orders. So it's backed up a bit, so it's healthier. Continues on adding to it, and we've backed up a bit. So we should have a good quarter two and good momentum in the business there. But I'm joined here with this morning by Randy. Maybe you might give us, Randy, give us a sense in terms of what the order books are, and also kind of what tenders are. What's the dynamic there with regard to tenders and just pricing and other issues that are coming into it?
Yeah, so I guess I look at it a couple different ways. One is just the overall activity in terms of quantum that we're bidding, and that continues to be ahead relatively significantly, even without the Infrastructure Act, primarily because of the work that had been done previously by individual states. But even into 2022, there's and 80 actual individual funding mechanisms approved by voters in the states that we operate. And so that's just continued to add to the robustness of the bidding environment. And I'd say from our standpoint, where we operate, we would win kind of our typical percentage, so the backlogs continue to remain strong. And I think what's encouraging as well for us is just to look at kind of the margins in those backlogs as they continue to improve and our ability to execute continues to ramp up. We have clear line of sight, certainly through the first half of the year and a positive momentum going into the second half as well.
One of the interesting things, David, that's actually starting to it's been evolving really for the last 2 years, and we see it coming more and more, and I don't want to steal any thunder about tomorrow. You heard about it tomorrow, is, of course, you know, we operate in for public contracts, and, of course, public contracts are going to get value for money, so cost is hugely important. But more and more circularity and recycling of materials, particularly for the big public contracts, is coming in as being a specified part of what we do. And that plays to our strengths. You'll hear more about it tomorrow. I'm just kind of teeing it up for tomorrow to take note of it. It's becoming an important, much more important issue than it has been heretofore.
That's brilliant. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Paul Roger from BNP Paribas Exane. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations on the strong start. So maybe my question will focus on Europe. I wonder if it's possible to quantify the price increases you've seen in the different markets and also comment on whether you're planning further hikes later in the year. And if I can just tag on a second, are you confident that you can keep pushing price in Europe without destroying demand?
Paul, three questions and very important questions. No problem at all. Look, with regard to pricing, I just go back to last year. I said to you during the course of last year, I felt that we got behind the cost curve in Europe. We caught up at the end of the year, and we started at the end of the year with good momentum. And that's meant that we've gone and started the season in Europe, you know, with required and necessary price increases, catching up a bit on last year, and also the necessary price increases for this year. I would say probably across Europe, high single digits would be the norm across Europe. So very significant price increases to offset the cost increases. There are some markets where we are seeing sort of low double-digit price increases, and that's been very strong. But, of course, since we started those price increases, which really those discussions would have taken place in the early part of this year, we've had obviously a big surge in energy costs again. And, of course, that has meant that, you know, again, I think we're personally speaking in Europe, I think we're slightly behind the cost curve in Europe. Now, it is interesting that even if we're behind the cost curve, the solutions model continues to deliver margin improvement in our business. So it just goes to show you there's a bit of a dislocation between cost and prices in CRH, which is why we keep saying we're more a price maker than a price taker. But I'll answer your question. With regard to pricing in the second half of the year, I think the industry as a whole will need to catch back up and get ahead of price increases again. So I do think there will be further price increases in later this year. I suspect it will be more quarter three than quarter two, because these current price increases are really only being established and put into the market as we speak. So I suspect it will be the back end of the summer. The momentum is good in the industry. The momentum is good in the market. And as you say, there's very significant cost increases that are not going to go away. So that's where I sense it would be. And with regard to, in terms of our business and margin improvement with regard to that in Europe, again, there is a bit of a dislocation, Paul, between costs and pricing in CRH, because we're not like all the other guys. We don't just sell stuff by the ton. Like, we turn our base materials into products, and in turning them into products, we're doing so in a fairly carefully designed, specified way, working with the customers to solve their complex problems. And we get paid for those design, engineering, architectural skills that we have within our business. And that's where the margin increase is coming across both our business, both in North America and in Europe. So it's not just really about costs and CRH anymore. It's about that additional benefit we bring to solve our customers' problems.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from the line of Yassine Touahri from On Field Investment. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. So just one question for me. Have you seen any construction work cancellations or postponements since the war in Ukraine? either because of shortages or because of higher construction costs?
Hi, Azim. Good afternoon to you. In fact, no, we have not. As we've mentioned, of course, within Ukraine we have, but that's only a small part of our business, and effectively everything is on hold until that matter is sorted out. And let's hope the violence stops very, very soon. But broadly speaking, across Europe, there has been no slowdown or no impact. In fact, we've had good, robust demand across all of Central and Eastern Europe and all the bordering countries that we have with Ukraine in terms of Poland, Slovakia, Romania, Hungary, all quite strong activity levels started the year and have continued on at a pace. In fact, it probably increased during the course of the year. There's good momentum across Central and Eastern Europe, and that's not going to stop anytime soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Nabil Ahmed from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good afternoon. My question was on the U.S. gas tax holidays that we saw in a number of states, and I think some others are thinking about it. Do you expect any impact at all on your business going forward?
Hi, Nabil. Yeah, look, there's been a lot of speculation in the press about, you know, potential states looking for gas tax holidays. We haven't seen any impact on the ground. Randy, you're living here every day of your life, so...
Yeah, I mean, as you said, there's been discussion in and around that. We've seen very few actions to support those claims. A couple states have moved on a temporary hold, but actually what they're doing is they're taking a lot of the COVID relief money and backfilling any shortage or kind of gap from the gas tax, and those are temporary measures. So it hasn't impacted the bidding environment, certainly hasn't impacted underlying funding.
Yeah, that's a good point, Randy. I mean, the state budgets are really in fairly robust shape, and that's why we feel, again, that I don't think that there'll be any issue with regard to any gas tax holidays. They're not really there, and if they do come, they'd be eaten up by the budgets that are there, but also in terms of support by the states for the federal budget increases coming through the Infrastructure and Investment Act that was passed in the fall last year. Again, we think that will come through quite strongly as well, so I think it's in good shape.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Glynis Johnson from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Hello, yes. It was a question on the U.S. infrastructure bill. I'm just, you know, you talked about U.S. being robust and the backlogs without that U.S. infrastructure bill as yet having effect. Is there any clarity you've got as to how we might expect that to benefit CRH as we go through maybe latter part of this year but into next year?
Hi, Glynis. Yes, no, you're absolutely right in your timing. I mean, this year is all about the money that was committed last year and execution of projects that have already been started. Most of the bigger projects that will benefit from the increased federal spending it'll be at the very end of this year and probably next year before we start to see it coming through. In fact, I mean, most of the benefit we assume that it'll be spent sort of, we think 23, 24, we'll get the lion's share of the work that's coming through. So we're not seeing anything yet. I suspect, though, what you're happening is you're seeing maybe a clearing out of quote-unquote old projects where people really are just finishing out the jobs that they had allocated funding for, knowing that there's, you know, very significant increase in federal funding coming forward, that they can start more longer-term projects, sort of 3 to 5 year projects. And that's the one thing that people sometimes overlook with regard to the funding coming forward. It's not just a substantial increase in funding that's coming forward. It's the longevity, the 5 years that are rolling out. So it allows people plan in the longer term for bigger projects, which really will sustain momentum for a longer period of time. So I think you're seeing a clearing out of maybe the shorter-run projects, and then the people will start to look at the longer-term projects, which should start to kick in very early, back end of this year, but it's more a 23, 24, 25 issue than a 22.
So the backlog you're seeing doesn't have any of that in as yet?
No. Too early yet.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Elodie Rao from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my question would be about the use of proceeds from the $3.6 billion that you will get from the disposal of the building envelope. Thanks.
Hi, Elodie. Look, obviously the deal has yet to close, and you know, our view is it will close probably in the course of the next next few weeks in quarter two of this year. Look, it leaves us with a very strong balance sheet, and we have options to allocate that capital to create value for our shareholders. I'll ask Jim for maybe to comment on as such. Maybe if I just focus on the M&A side of it. Look, as I said earlier on, when I was talking to David, I'm talking about the question. Our pipeline is quite strong. We can be quite selective. You know, we're probably at a run rate of bolt on M&A and series, probably running at the rate of somewhere between 1.2 to 2 billion a year. And LED, they're kind of deals that just come in the door. Of course, we could shut things down if, you know, if the world went, you know, completely the wrong way, but we don't think it will. And on top of that, there's platform deals to be done. And we're constantly looking and have constant conversations with people for, you know, many, many years to see how we can execute those deals. So I'm confident over the next sort of 1 to 2 years, we will, you know, significantly use the funds that we have to reallocate back into our business for growth investments, not only with regard to CapEx, but also with regards to, you know, significant M&A, but again, always with a strong focus on the financial discipline we've had there within our business. Of course, we have been returning cash to our shareholders as well, so maybe, Jim, you want to just have a chat about our philosophy and our strategy on that?
Sure. Hi, Olivier. Yeah, in terms of the use of the proceeds, Albert touched on it, we would have called that last year a step up on our development CapEx too, and that's in the, you know, some of those higher growth markets and some of the solution space as well, and that's continuing into 22 as well. Also announced the increase in dividend, as you're aware, the final dividend for 2021 was up over 5%, and our share buyback program is running at an annualized rate now of about $1.2 billion. The current tranche will finish before the end of June. That's a $300 million tranche, and that will finish by the end of June. So we have capacity, we have optionality, but as Albert said, the pipeline is good in terms of M&A, but as ever, all the investment decisions will be looked through that lens of just ensuring, you know, we're driving shareholder value accretion. But good capacity, good options, but always maintaining that rigor and discipline.
Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Cedar Ekblom from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much. On energy costs, you'll be benefiting at the moment relative to spot due to some of your forward buying contracts that you have in place. Can you remind us when you would probably need to be re-entering the market to re-establish your energy purchases going forward, and a little bit of color on how that position sits in Europe versus the US? Do you have longer lead times in Europe, or is it about the same across your portfolio? Thank you.
Fida, I'm not too sure we are benefiting from energy costs in the current environment despite whatever forward projects we have, because the forward projects we might have in place, of course, energy costs increased quite significantly during the course of last year. And, of course, we don't carry forward like for 12 months. We're carrying forward for 1, 2, 3 months. Most of our hedges, if you can call them that, tend to be within the business contracts that we have with our customers. Our customers are very well educated on what energy prices will be, and very often we have automatic adjustments and accelerators, as we do have here in the United States where I am at the moment, with regard to a lot of our customers, whereby it's a direct pass through to them, the benefit or the disadvantage of that, as the case may be. So we're not really benefiting from any holidays with regards to hedges that went back for years and years when oil was $30 a barrel. Those days are long in the rearview mirror. So it's not a question of any big unwind there. It's just a question of carefully managing our cost base. And, of course, I go back to the issue that we're not a business that just is a cost margin business anymore. It's the idea, as I say, that we sell much more than just base materials, and really that allows us to push the margin ahead in our business. So there's no big unwind with regard to hedges. We do tend to cover forward as best we can, but it tends to be rolling 3 to 6 months, quite frankly. We probably cover somewhere between a third and half of our business at any one time, and our natural hedges within our business is because we're bidding on projects and work which are quite short-term in nature some of the time. So you're looking at sort of 4 to 6 weeks. So already, unless there's a massive dislocation in prices over the next 4 to 6 weeks, what I'm bidding on a work over the course of the next month is the current price of energy. So we are really covered in that area. If we were a big cement player, I'd fully accept and understand whereby you'd be buying massive amounts of coal or pet coke, pulling it in from Australia or the Far East, and you'd be buying, you know, sort of 60, 80,000 tons at a time. That might be an issue for us, but we're not really a big cement producer. We're much more of an integrated player across our business, more a big aggregate producer than a cement business, and therefore our power tends to be more electricity and diesel, which is more bought on the spot than on forward contracts.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your last question comes from the line of Will Jones from Redburn. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Just wondering if perhaps you could give us a little bit more colour around the US asphalt business. I'm thinking that the Winterfell process, which presumably has come to a close now, whether you think bitumen is likely to follow the spot oil price that we can all see on the screens to its usual relationship, and I guess when all is said and done, where you think those selling prices kind of need to be, give or take, in asphalt compared to the 8% or so that you're currently running at. Thanks.
Hi, Will. Good afternoon to you. Look, I mean, oil, bitumen is not perfectly correlated to oil. It does go up, of course, and it has gone up. We're some ways through our winter fill program. It carries on. Our winter fill program will carry on until the end of April, actually, quite frankly, all the way through. And in reality, you know, what we're doing now is we're going to the market. I mean, people are bidding jobs at spot prices for bitumen, so it's well bid into the market as it is as such. And the only difficulty we will ever have, or anybody making asphalt will ever have, is if you're bidding long work and there is a significant price dislocation from the day that you bid to the day you actually have to go and buy the bitumen. Now, the reason why it's such an advantage for us is because we have the advantage of knowing that we have got 800,000 tons plus in our tanks. So that if there is a significant advantage, it's almost like a strategic reserve we can pull down from to protect ourselves against a big dislocation. But we don't tend to get massive movements over short periods of time. It can happen from time to time, but it doesn't tend to be the norm. It tends to be much more of a smooth cycle so we can watch it. So we do have to manage it. The winterfell program is very successful and has been very successful since CRH. It gives us that strategic advantage in that we kind of have a strategic reserve at a known price that we can draw down from if we do come into difficulties with regard to short-term spot prices and then not and we find ourselves on the wrong side of a particular contract, which is very helpful. But that tends to be very much the exception rather than the norm. And again, what bitumen prices are today will find themselves into asphalt contracts for everybody in the U.S. market over the course of the next sort of 3 to 6 weeks when people are bidding on work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, listen, well, look, I think that's all we have time for this morning. And look, I want to thank you all for your attention. And as always, if you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to get in touch with our investor relations team. And we all look forward to speaking to you again during our investor updates tomorrow. Thank you and goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.